This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our show about physics and experiments. Getting from the idea stage, from calculations and theories to practice is challenging. Like you have to will something into existence that you're not even sure is there. Here's something that has eluded scientists for more than half a century. Nuclear fusion, harnessing the energy that is released when particles are fused together, as opposed to being split apart like in nuclear power plants. The dream with nuclear fusion is near limitless energy, a power source like the sun, but down here on Earth. The Princeton Plasma Physics Lab in New Jersey has been working on this since the 1950s. Their current machine costs $200 million. When the experiment is running, just for a couple of seconds, it requires enough electricity to power thousands of American homes. Alan Yu takes us inside of this lab.
It's one thing to design a fusion experiment in theory with calculations and computer models, but it's another thing to put this into practice.
It's very easy to design something that nobody on Earth can build.
Stefan Gerhardt is one of the physicists directing this project at the Princeton Plasma Physics Lab.
And so all of these fancy ideas about physics and design engineering have to be constrained by what can be done with finite money and time by real people with real machine tools. There is constant tension in my business in evaluating that interplay. That's both what makes it interesting and what makes it hard.
What they're trying to accomplish here is a feat of engineering. Everything has to be exact, precise, with a lot of money and energy on the line. To picture this $200 million fusion experiment, think of a 15-foot-tall apple made of metal. When the machine is turned on, the core of the apple holds a gas that is so hot, it matches the temperature at the center of the sun, millions of degrees Celsius. That turns the gas into a different state of matter altogether, called plasma. To make and control a device like this, that pushes the boundaries for what is possible on Earth, scientists can order parts from companies across the country and the world. But some of the parts are made right here in-house, by a guy like this.
Now, I have no idea what it is. They just give me a print and say, Joe, make this.
Joe Diamond is a senior machinist at the Princeton Plasma Physics Lab. He's been here for about 5 years. He is 70 years old, and he's been in the machining business for more than 50 years. One of his early jobs was at a company in Philadelphia that made parts for cars and trains.
And I worked at a place called U.S. Pipe and Foundry, where they made sewer pipe. I didn't make the pipe. I made the parts that made the pipe. I worked at a place we used to make parts for nuclear submarines.
That experience all comes into play here at the lab. Joe shows me something that he says is among the hardest things he's had to make. These are stainless steel plates, about 10 inches long, less than half an inch thick, in the shape of a trapezium, that's a trapezoid for you Americans. To my untrained eye, it looks like you could just cut these out of a template. But Joe shows me what I cannot see.
Like, that's flat. Yeah. And this side is flat. Mm-hmm. But in relationship to one another, you can see how it's got taper on it.
Oh, so it's not the same thickness all the way through.
No.
To make this gently sloping piece of metal, Joe and his team had to design a stencil and cut out a piece of stainless steel to the right shape. Then he had to shave the metal down, but only from one end, so that it slopes at the exact angle the scientists want it to be. So why is this angle so important? These steel plates go somewhere between the core of the apple and the outer shell. This core, the part that faces the ultra-hot plasma, is lined with flat carbon tiles. And the idea is that those tiles can take the heat and carry it safely outside. But the problem is, the lab cannot make a metal apple such that those flat tiles perfectly cover the surface of the apple core. The carbon tiles have to be aligned and angled just right. They cannot be off by more than 1/100th of an inch. Because if that happens, the tiles could get too hot. Part of it could fall into the plasma, and the experiment won't get as hot as the scientists need it to be. Joe has to make these steel plates angled just right to go between the carbon tiles and the core of the metal apple, so the tiles are perfectly aligned. He shows me a pile of maybe 10 of these that he made.
And how long did these take to make, Joe?
Oh, close to a year.
How did you feel now that they're done?
Well, actually, they're really not finished because there's a couple revisions, and they're redesigning them. So we'll probably get them again.
The potential consequences for getting something wrong can be serious. Back in 2016, the lab had just finished a 4-year upgrade program. But then one of the magnets used to help hold the ultra-hot plasma failed. The machine was shut down for months. The lab director at the time resigned after an 8-year-long career. One story called it a body blow to the lab. Stefan Gerhardt was around back then too. He says that they worked to make sure a mistake like that does not happen again. And they increased their already high standards for parts. For instance, he says that when the lab asked companies to make them more of these magnets, the lab did something they had never done to prototype magnets before.
And we tested them and we cut them up to look to make sure there was no embedded flaws.
The lab asked the companies making the magnets to make sure that they had a clean room, free of dust or other metalwork going on that could contaminate the magnets.
You want to make sure that all the workers, if they're touching this, have gloves on so the oils of their hands don't get in. You want to make sure that nobody comes in here and marks with a pencil or a Sharpie.
A company in France made some of the magnets. To make sure the company followed the lab's specifications, the Princeton lab actually sent people to France in 2020 to watch the magnets being made. Then, of course, the pandemic happened, and the lab had to scramble to get those people back to the US. The lab is still getting new parts and putting them into what they have already built to make sure everything fits.
These are complex assemblies. It's a very large Swiss watch we sometimes like to tell each other.
And it does require people who know how to coordinate this finely tuned Swiss watch with hundreds of machinists and engineers and scientists all working on this one thing. Stefan says one of the project managers on the team used to run a nuclear power plant.
There's radiation hazards, there's electrical hazards, all the more mundane mechanical hazards. There's a lot of technical complexity. There's many systems that have to work simultaneously. And so in all of these areas, once it's built, a lot of focus goes into carrying quality and safety into operations and making sure these complex systems work together every day when the science users are present and wanting to get some science done.
Right now, the goal is to have the machine ready to be turned on a few years from now. Scientists can then use it to do experiments and figure out how to control and work with the ultra-hot plasma to someday maybe use it to generate huge amounts of power. In the meantime, they are designing, assembling, and fine-tuning all the components, one plate at a time.
That story was reported by Alan Yu.